choices have already been made, even if I want to change it. What I learned in jail is that I can't change. I can't, you know, live a different lifestyle. This is it. This is the life that they gave me. This is the life that I made. You know how they say you made your bed, now lay in it. I tried to move. I can't move to no other bed. This is it. You know what I mean? Not for the courts, not for the parole board, not for nobody. This is what they gave me. All I'm trying to do is survive and make good out of the dirt, nasty, you know what I mean, unbelievable lifestyle that they gave me. I'm just trying to make something good out of that. Just like if you try to plant something in the concrete, you know what I mean? Yeah. If it grow and the rose petal got all kind of scratches and marks, you're not going to say, damn, look at all the scratches and marks on the rose that grew from the concrete. You're going to be like, damn, a rose grew from the concrete? Yeah. Same thing with me. You know what I mean? I grew out of all this. Instead of saying, damn, he did this, he did this, just be like, damn, he grew out of that? Yeah, he came out of that? See, that's what they should see. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what I see because, you know, brother, you must be truly blessed. You know what I'm saying? You know, to go through all the trials and tribulations you've been through and still, you know, you're still maintaining, you know, and even now, they still coming. You know, you got these demons and obstacles that they just keep coming down harder and harder. You know, I mean, every time you turn around, you got somebody knocking on your door trying to take something from you, right?
They come harder and harder. And that's what kills me. It's like every time I think this is it and I go all out to beat that, I win. Or I lose and then I come into the next one. It's worse. It's even worse. Like it's like the Twilight Zone because it's like some evil, unstoppable shit that it just won't let me go. Mm-hmm. It's just got his hands on me and it just want to see me fail. And in my mind, sometimes when I'm drunk or I'm just laying down, I'll be thinking like, damn, is this true? Will I fail? Am I supposed to fail? I mean, should I just stop trying and give up? But then I'll be like, nah, hold on. That's exactly what they waiting for me to do. Is to just say this is too much. I can't take it and give up. So now it's a fun little game. That I cry at sometime, I laugh at sometime, I smile, I have good times and bad times, but it's a game. It's this game of life. Do I win or do I lose? I know one day they're going to shut the game down, but I have to have as much fun and get around the board as many times as I can before it's my turn to leave.
That's for real.
And that's it.
That's for real. We chilling with Tupac right now. We're going to come back with some more Tupac. We just lounging in this trailer. Me and Ali, you know, at the set. All right, we'll be right back.
Oh. Driving.
All right.
Actually, going.
All right, man.
You got a light?
You know, it's funny, man, when I be looking at I like to study. I like to watch how brothers evolve, you know, and the shit, because you know how this business is, man. Everything is pretentious. It's just like, you know, everybody get that one opportunity, and it's who maintains it, and then making it to another opportunity that lasts. I look at the shit you've been through, dude. You know, I sit and think about it.
It's been career-ending shit.
Yeah.
Shit that the next nigga, I mean, I done had problems with the IRS, the police, the feds, government, rape. I mean, everything that may end your career. That's how you know somebody's trying to get you. You know these are not coincidences.
Yeah.
I mean, because I've been on probation for shit the niggas get turned loose on. You know what I mean? I went to jail for that year, not for rape, but for touching her ass. Sexually, they couldn't even get me on shit, but touching her ass.
And they put you in jail for a year, and I'm sitting there thinking.
And you know, if I go to any club, every bitch in there is grabbing me and touching me. And I went to jail for doing the same thing. And I didn't even do that. I mean, I'm saying in a mix of sex, you're going to touch her. You know what I mean? This was me and her personally. But they took that, and
they blew it out of proportion. And then, you know what fucked it up? It's how, like, the media and shit. I mean, you look in the papers, they paint you so bad.
Because,
you know what I'm saying? But the motherfuckers, they know. Not only they know what goes on in this shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Like with Tyson and all that shit. You know, they know what goes on. You know, you get in these environments like this. You got women all around here. What they thinking?
It's a game, dog, because what it was that I went out of hand with it, and I just started being outlandish and bragging and shit, and they had to stop me. They had to stay away and stop me. They sent the police after me first to kill me. And it just so happened that I got to get there before they got me. And then instead of that stopping me, it made me into a bigger star. And so they was like, oh, fuck that.
We're
going to stop this nigga.
Gonna
so right
back.
After that, look at the time. Just study it. You say you study 2-3 weeks after that, the rape charge. Because they knew we got to stop it. I mean, you got to keep your head up out. The women love him. The dudes love him. How can we stop him? What can stop this guy? Why don't we just say he raped one of the women that love him so much? And that's what they did.
Man, they just like, you know what I'm saying? And that's biggest. Balance. That's exactly what it
think
is.
Think about it. If I diss this bitch, I mean, you know how the game is in Oakland, in the bag. If I diss this bitch, the perfect way for her to get back at me is to say,
he raped me.
Because she can sue me. It's not just hurting me. Mm-hmm. She can sue me and make millions. It's not just like I'm saying she's jealous. She sue. She can make millions if she do it right. If she gets some guys and they all plan it and I do everything I'm supposed
and
to do, she can get millions.
That's
and that's exactly what they did. My co-defendants to this day have never been to trial.
Did she make money?
Huh? She's got a civil suit pending. She called her lawyer right after she left my hotel. Before she called the police, she called the civil suit lawyer.
Oh, shit. She was
called
a lawyer?
She called the police. Yes.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's come back. Let's come back.
All right, all right.
All right.
You need this?
Not really, man. I really want to ask you what was up with Janet. All right. Hey, we back chilling with Tupac. This man is multimedia. Not only is he a recording artist, he's also an actor. But before we get into the acting, I want to say, how did you first get down with Suge Knight and Death Row?
Suge, I used to always see Suge. When they did the soundtrack for Murder Was the Case, it was when I was going through all those legal problems. And he was like, yo, give me a song, dog. And I was like, yeah, you can get whatever you want. You know, gave him a song. And it was like the most I ever got for a soundtrack. I mean, the most I ever got for a song. It was damn near album budget. I mean, I think I got like something like $200,000 or $150,000 for one song. And the song, they didn't even use it. But I still got paid. You know what I mean? I got paid for everything I did on the soundtrack. And I think I did like two songs or something. And I remember when he did it like, yo, it wasn't even like because he was jocking me. He did it because he knew I was having crazy legal problems. And I was a man. He had asked me to come to Death Row, and I was like, I ain't ready. And instead of like taking it personal, he just did that for me. And I appreciated that. So when I'm in jail and I'm sitting there, what made me do the Death Row thing, because I was really going to quit rapping. But then Puffy and Biggie and all of them came out in the vibe, and they lied, and they twisted the facts. And all I wanted to do was end everything. Yo, all I wanted to do was end everything and walk away from shit. You know what I mean? Like how Scarface and all them niggas do. I want to get out the game. I'm trying to get out the game. They want to dirty up my memory. They want to dirty up everything I worked for. So it made me come back. Instead of quitting, it made me come back more relentless to destroy my what in fact is my comrades. To destroy what used to be my homeboys. My what I worked for. My closest clique. You know what I mean? I worked hard all my life. As far as this music business, to make it East Coast, West Coast love and make everybody feel comfortable. And I dreamed of the days when I can go to New York and be comfortable and they can come out here and be comfortable. So it's not like I'm when people say, why are you doing it in East Coast? It's not like it's not silly at all. But you can't disrespect the love. You can't disrespect the peace treaty. That's just like when the Indians made deals with the white dudes and they would just come and rape their women and shoot them up and then leave. No, the Indians ain't going to love white people no more. They're going to want to kick up some dust until we think about it and renegotiate the terms of the treaty, and that's what I'm talking about.
That's where y'all at right now.
We gotta have this beef and this war and these words and this dialogue until we can renegotiate the terms of the treaty. I love the East Coast. I'm from the East Coast, but they have to understand that you can't just be saying shit about us and think that we're not gonna take it personal. You can't just be calling us fakers and pretenders and non-creative motherfuckers and we can't freestyle and this and that and this and think we just gonna be like, oh, that's cool, we love them because they started it. Hell no, we're gonna take it personal, just like a kid would when his bigger brother who ain't doing shit is all of a sudden, you know, that's just like the little brother making hella cash and the bigger brother's like, you owe it all to me. That's wrong. You know what I mean? Don't be mad because the little nigga's coming up. You know what I mean?
Now, do you think the East Coast, West Coast rivalry is like both coasts, or because a lot of people think it's more Bad Boy, Death Row?
It is. It's not both coasts. What it is was that the East Coast, the people on the East Coast are real proud, real cultural, and real strong, just like we are on the West Coast. And so what happened was Biggie came at a time, just like what Hitler did with the Jews. Biggie came at a time when they were open to somebody saying, we're the master race, and these guys are nothing, and they're pretenders, and this is why we're not making it in the business, because of these guys. This is why we're not doing nothing, because of these guys. So the East Coast, really not hating us, really not knowing nothing about us, but just listening to their supposed to be leader, you know, listening to the person that was representing for them. Like, yeah, okay, well, Biggie, you know, he from Brooklyn, you know what I mean? And that's what happened. And so all of a sudden, people saying stuff that they didn't even know was what they was doing was like ending our culture, what we started. We held it down for y'all. That's how I felt. I was in tears, like, what? When y'all was out there on some You and LL was dancing with women in silver suits, and niggas was on some other shit, which I'm not mad at because I might do that one day. And I love them niggas, you know what I mean? But I'm saying when you was being creative and wanting to try other boundaries, we was holding it down with this hardcore shit.
Yeah.
It might not have been what you wanted, but it kept rap alive for years. It kept money coming in. It let them notice us. So how could you look at us now and be like, this ain't good enough? You know what I mean? We the broken home. Y'all ain't teach us this. We ain't come from we ain't got no subways or graffiti. We learned this, I mean, in spite of the gangs, in spite of all of that, we came up with this culture. You know what I mean? So I felt like we never got what we deserved. And I took it personal because I'm from the East Coast and I know about that culture, but I know about this culture because I was here when it was getting put down. So now I'm doing what the East Coast would have did if the West Coast did this to the East Coast. I'm riding for my side. You know what I mean? You wrong. This is not right. Recognize us. And the only way the East Coast gonna recognize us is for us to do it on records, by money, by sales, and by representing it. Just like KRS-One. When PM Dawn got on stage and he had talked shit about him, what did KRS-One do? So why are people telling me I'm wrong for doing what I'm doing? They love KRS-One. He is hip-hop. Am I correct?
That's true.
Right. So I'm hip-hop. I'm mad at Biggie. I'm rushing the nigga. What's the problem?
That's real.
The East Coast separate themselves from Biggie. We'll do shows in the East Coast. Everything is beautiful. But so far, the East Coast has been with every all interviews I read, every letter I read. Niggas is like, fuck Tupac, Biggie, Biggie this, Biggie, Biggie. Like he's representative of the East Coast. So that's why I attack as though I do, because I'm a general and I'm a smart general. And I'm not going to attack at no blind soldiers. I'm going to attack at those attacking me. Only reason people was mad now is because I came out of jail and made this shit a reality. When I got out of jail, the West Coast, East Coast shit was really started. California love, what I was saying, put it down. And now them niggas is mad because money is fucked up. Attitudes have changed. It's not as safe as it used to be. Niggas got to think about their business steps, and that's what I wanted to happen. Now let's go to the table. Let's talk. Let's make peace. Let's work it out. Let's get a community the money.
So you saying with a conversation with guys like Puffy, Biggie, and that whole East Coast?
Sit down and conversate with Puffy or Biggie, because that's like Scarface sitting down with the dude he overthrew. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They not on my level, but I could sit down with the OGs from there, which we are doing. Mm-hmm. People don't even know we not beefing with the East Coast. We starting Death Row East. With Eric B, all the OG niggas out there from the East Coast. We got Kane, Christopher Williams, all these artists. We're trying to get Bobby Brown, all these artists. We're trying to put the East Coast Death Row just like the West Coast Death Row and make it major. You know what I mean? Right. But we're not doing that until we get this business settled. And even while we're doing that, we're trying to get the Wu-Tang niggas, because I love them niggas. Mm-hmm. I feel as though they represent the East Coast how we represent the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And I love them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's what we're trying to do. We're doing it like if everybody raps is what they really think, then everybody should understand what I'm doing, because it's gangster shit number one, it's war shit number two, and it's all by the rules of the game. You know what I mean? I'm doing shit, I'm calling for dialogue. I'm gathering attention for dialogue, which is what you do in a struggle for power.
That's real. We still chilling with Tupac. It's intense. I love this, brother. I like this. My man keeping it real. We're going to come back with more Tupac right here.
I want to ask him, hold up, one more thing with the Death Row thing. Man,
that's so profound what you're saying.
But it's real, huh?
It's real. It's so real. I never thought about it.
Hey, but it's realer than what brothers...
It's so profound.
People think it's realer than what they think.
People think I just got out of jail and was like, just because I got shot on the East Coast, I'm like, fuck the East Coast.
Yeah,
no. Half the rappers from the East Coast was there when I got shot. Nobody knew a thing. That's just like you coming to the hood and the police ask them what happened, mm-hmm. and everybody's like, I don't know. You know they lying. Mm-hmm. And all I was doing was like, give me my proper etiquette. If Biggie was out here on the West Coast, he was in the studio with me and we homeboys, and he got shot, no, I wouldn't tell him who did it, but I wouldn't go ride on niggas who did it, but he wanted to know who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, look, man, these niggas from Watts did it. Boom, this is why. They want to talk to you. When. That's how I do it. Just like when the niggas from the 60s wanted to get a Tretch. I went to them personally and talked to them. Mm-hmm. I do it by the rules of etiquette. So I got shot. I'm like, yo, what happened? Come see me in jail. Biggie all in the air to my ear pockets, my homeboy Womb, but not seeing me. My homeboy Stretch is going to Biggie's concerts. Niggas is like abandoning me. Mm-hmm. But all in the air and on TV, they like, yeah, Pop, rest, you know, keep the struggle on. I was like, yo, I'm starting to turn into like Slick Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas is just going to act like I'm going to just be in jail and they going to give me shout outs and try to take my position. Mm-hmm. And if you watch, that's what Biggie did. Listen to us. I was there, nigga. I trained the nigga. He used to be under me like my lieutenant. The nigga, I used to come in New York. I used to do shows and let the nigga come on before I did Keep Your Head Up and Get Around. Because nobody knew the nigga in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to tell a nigga, yo, if you want to make your money, you got to rap for the bitches. Do not rap for the niggas. Yeah, I told a nigga, don't rap for the niggas. Rap for the bitches. The bitches will buy your records and the niggas want what the bitches want. So all of a sudden, he changed from being listen to party and bullshit, listen to his style. He changed from that to Big Poppa. Yep. Because of me. He had my album, Me Against the World, was the second one. He had the first one. I changed everything because Ready to Die came out and it sounded like my album. Mm-hmm. All my album was about, you know, dealing with death. Mm-hmm. And then he came out Ready to Die and I had to switch it.
Wow.
That's why it was less East Coast rap, East Coast beats, because Biggie had just took my shit.
That's what, but you can listen to it. That's what, that was a success too. Because he took West Coast sound.
We flipped and I told him that. I trained. He was supposed to be Thug Life. Mm-hmm. All while he was coming up, I used to let him come on stage with me. He was screaming Thug Life.
Hey, cause I saw
he was like, I hate
Canadian.
Brooklyn. I hate New York. I'm out with them niggas. Puffy cheating me. Woo, woo, woo. All of a sudden, he blew up, and he wasn't saying Thug Life. Mm-hmm. So I started getting mad, and I was seeing the niggas place. He was hugging me. Yo, Puck. Yo, thank you. He was the only nigga that woo, woo. But he told me, like, about a week before I got shot, he knew the nigga that was shot me, and he was like, Pop, don't hang around this nigga. We walked in with the nigga that shot me, that ended up shooting me. He's like, Pop, don't fuck with this nigga, because I knew the nigga too. He was my co-defendant. And I was like, what you mean? He's like, I'll talk to you about it later. And we didn't talk. Next time I saw him was at the studio where I got shot. So I knew he knew what happened. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Biggie, what happened? He kept sending me messages like a bitch, you know, like, I'm going to come see you. No, nigga, what happened? While I'm in jail, strangers is telling me, yo, you don't know? Biggie homeboy shot you. Because they bragging. They telling they niggas in jail. Yo, we just got popped. Woo. And my cousin was in jail in New York because I got family out there. He sit right there while the niggas get in the car going, yo, my homeboys just jacked that nigga Tupac. So that's how I knew. Shot me. What happened and everything. They mad because I know what happened. That's why they all, you know, it's Biggie and them, they're not rotten. That's why what I'm doing, I know what I'm doing. I'm destroying them. I fucked his wife. I'm fucking them in the game. I'm destroying them. He lives by the rules of the game. He lives off a mafia image. I'm bringing him, showing how he totally disregarded the rules of the game, and he's everything but a mafia nigga.
Mm-hmm. You're reinventing it.
Right. I'm showing him. You know what I mean? Like, if anybody's a mafia nigga, me, nigga. I fucked your bitch. I took 5 shots. I went in your crew. I mean, I just, what? Mm-hmm. I went to New York. They don't do shows out here. I did Saturday Night Live. Y'all forgot? Live in New York, where everybody knew I was going to be there on stage, no problems. Went to the clubs, everything. In the middle of my West Side ride. You know what I mean? Because I'm real about it. I don't hate New York, but if y'all don't understand it, then fuck it. You get rolled over too. Because I hear y'all. I was in jail and I heard what they were saying on the radios. You know how we got the Wake Up Show? Right. You know, they got their own shows. They got their little mixed shows with Red Alert and this nigga and that nigga and what's his name? Flex. And I swear to God, dog, they used to diss the West Coast. They had these commercials where they'd be like, hey, dog, what's up, dog? And I used to be like, in jail in New York on my radio, like, oh, shit. You know how you would feel if you heard your homeboy went home and just clowned you? And I was like, oh, man. Oh, and all my homeboys like, yo, Puffy just did a show out here. I was like, how was it? It's like, good, we gave him love, we gave him this, we gave him that. He was talking all this Unity shit. But then when they go home,
they be popping
Q-Tip.
Shit.
They made all these underground tapes dissing us.
Q-Tip?
Yes, Q-Tip.
Q-tip me on some
so
shit.
Then when niggas ride back, then they want to talk about the culture and be hip-hop and shit again. But that's not fair. Mm-hmm. How you going to be bold? And that's what they all do. They all play badasses. Same thing for the Fugees. They just diss me on the air on MTV.
Fugees diss you?
They're not personally, they're diss the West Coast. They introduced my finger and it's like California love. The East Side is the best side. I seen them. All them niggas was talking about how much they respect me and love me. See, I hate that. Because I be dead serious.
It's one thing when they say
that. Snapchat, you know, XL is talking about me. He got a rhyme, well, you know how he always got these little metaphors. He say, you'll get fucked like Tupac did in jail. Mm-hmm. Now I'm telling y'all beforehand, off the air, I'm gonna beat this nigga's ass. And everybody's gonna be talking about how wrong I am, how I haven't changed, but what am I supposed to do with a nigga disrespecting my manhood like that? See what I mean? It's like I can't get out the game. Just like I'm saying, just like Scarface and that Carlito's way, I want to be legit. We got restaurants coming up with Alanis Morissette, me, Snoop, Sugar, and Alanis Morissette open up a restaurant.
Alanis is nice.
I'm doing a soundtrack. Cool. My first soundtrack, I'm the music supervisor for this movie I'm doing. Woo! I got Alanis on there, Michelle, Inkalatia, whatever her name. All these alternative nice stars, no rap. All this shit coming up, but what's going to reign supreme in 96 and 97 is the ride I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it's not even like I feel like I'm doing it for hip hop. All I'm trying to do is get the imposters out. I remember Biggie sleeping on my couch. I remember begging bitches to fuck him.
Yeah.
So, Big Papa don't mean nothing to me. He know it. He know it. That's why he can't fight me. That's why he can't battle me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can make songs talking exactly about him, and he can't talk about me because he know. I'm the one that used to buy him champagne. All that shit he talking, that was me buying him that. He talking about my lifestyle, his album. Because when he was doing his album, he was broke, nigga. I was having money. The shit he talked about was my life. Thug life. That's what he talking about. All that Junior Mafia, them niggas was young motherfuckers that used to hang around that I used to give money to get on a train to go home at night. Little Caesar and all of them.
And Kim and all of them.
Yeah, so now they rapping against me, and you can imagine how I fucking feel.
When I got arrested
for Biggie. Them guns in my room was Biggie's guns because them cowards left the room when they heard the police was downstairs, and everybody left their guns in my room. So I got 4 guns in my room. Serial number scratched out, and I did not snitch. I took that case. So you can imagine how I feel when I'm in jail for that case, and he out there living a mafia lifestyle, giving me no money, giving me no respect, giving me no tribute, rolling with my road dog who was there when I got shot. I mean, come on, man. I'm not paranoid. I'm not paranoid. Y'all niggas know what time it is.
Yeah.
What it is that the East Coast drug dealers got them niggas out of extortion. I came and fucked up everything. Because I dissed them niggas in the Daily News. They put a hit out on me. When the niggas tried to rob me, which is all they wanted to do, I knew what they told me. That's what they was telling me. Pop, they was sending me messages through my closest road dog saying, Pop, why did you fight them? They was just coming to take your shit. But I wasn't letting nobody take my shit, and I was strapped that day. That's what was, I couldn't put in the bar. I had two double Glocks on me. And when I pulled for my shit, that's when I got shot. And the reason I knew my homeboy set me up is because my homeboys knew I was strapped. The dudes came straight for me. My homeboys is behind the niggas. Like, they running for Trey. My homeboys behind the niggas, and they didn't do nothing. They knew I was strapped. All they had to do was grab the nigga, and I could have bust. But they got guns, so these niggas are coming for me, and these niggas just sitting there. And they say, get, and these niggas drop to the floor. I knew it was a setup. Nobody come downstairs to after them shot.
And then after you shot, now how did we? After you shot, you went up there, they looked at you like you was a ghost?
Yo, when I walked upstairs, Sway, on everything I love, I seen it in their eyes. I can never describe this look, but till you get shot and you see it yourself. Niggas looked at me like this. I walked out the elevator, because I walked out the elevator, I didn't know I was shot in my head or nothing. I wasn't, they said in the vibe interview, I was acting like I was in a movie. What they really trying to say is this nigga is raw. I got shot 5 times, came upstairs, did not know I had got shot 5 times. I thought I only got shot once.
Man, dude, it sound like you got a lot on your chest.
Oh my God. It's been so long since the Bay's heard from you.
And that's why I'm giving it to you straight raw, because you got to go back and tell them the shit that we ain't recording. I'm giving you that, you know, not to tell them the specifics, but you
but
know when somebody
calls
you and go,
yeah.
Yo, why did you do this? You know, they go, trust me, we talk to them, we know, blam, blam, blam. Now y'all know, you know what I mean? Just like they niggas on they radio stations know. Because what I was mad at is that we didn't have a radio station like that. Me and Snoop got okay from 92.3 to start West Side Radio. But I don't want to do it unless it's right. What I really just wanted, I was just proving the point again. I want our radio stations to be true to us, and we'll be true to y'all. Tell us. Nigga,
you know,
if you want that type of love, you better give us some commercials every week. We want new shit like they do on the East Coast.
We want
new songs, especially for us.
Did you get the copies of the West Side Radio I gave to you? What'd you think?
I love it. That's what I was talking about. That's why now it's not such an important thing for us to do it personally, because somebody is doing it.
Yeah.
But that's all I wanted was for somebody to have a
We've
show like that. Because I'm from
now.
New York, and I know how they shows is. They dope. Everybody loves it.
Hey, let's finish. I know you got to do your thing. Wait, hold on. I want to ask you one more question about Death Row. All right. Yo, we back right here with Tupac, you know, just chopping up a little bit. Can't let you hear everything, you know. Some stuff.
I'll put it down, though.
Yeah. My man is definitely putting it down. One more thing about Death Row. Now, how does the, what's going on with Dre, and how does that affect Death Row as a whole? No, hold on.
Dre's doing his own thing. It don't affect us. My take on what happened was that Snoop was on trial for murder, fighting for his life. Somebody had said that Dre was in the car. The jury believed that. We needed Dre to be there to say he wasn't there. And once they would have saw him, they would have known he wasn't there. And that would have saved Snoop's whole case. Because they would have saw that the witness that had said it was lying. And Dre never showed up. He was too busy. That's how they told me. When they told me that, I was like, well, no matter how dope he is, and Dre's one of my heroes in the music business, but I was like, no matter how dope he is, if he's not down for his homeboy, Snoop, who brought him back when he was just a relic, when niggas was dissing him, you know what I mean? Then I don't want to be a part of him. I don't want to be around him or nothing. Plus, I feel as though what's done in the dark will come to light. It's secrets that everybody's going to find out about that I don't have to play a hate or dry snitch about that will come out. You'll find out for yourself, and you'll know why I did it. I swear to God, y'all, I'm living by the rules of the game that y'all, the people, have put down for us to live by.
Oh, that's real. Let's talk about other things. Like you told us, you got a soundtrack you working on. You got a new movie, right? Why don't you talk on that?
We got a movie called Gridlock coming out. It's like a mainstream movie. It's me coming back into the theaters with Tim Roth from Pulp Fiction and a gang of other movies. I don't know what the female is, but it's a big name female. I'm the music supervisor for the soundtrack. It's my first chance ever doing something like this. We got Alanis Morissette on the soundtrack. All these big name alternative, supposedly people who I would never get with. I got them all on the soundtrack. To show just what kind of range I got, and I'm putting that kind of soundtrack out, and then I'm putting a rap soundtrack out, and I'm gonna do it like a Tupac album, basically, with me doing a whole bunch of solo songs, with Snoop on there doing some songs, Dog Pound, Death Row on there, just to show that, you know, I got a business mind as well as a creative mind, and to show that I also have, you know, besides just rapping, I can do other ways, I can make my way in other ways in this business.
That's for real, too. Now, when you work with Janet, you know, I was wondering if maybe you could hook me up with her number if did you pursue it?
Dog, on everything I love, if anybody finds Janet, tell her I'm looking for. That's why I said that shit in my song when my mind's made up, Forgive Me Janet, because I feel like she got her shit all twisted. People done made her my enemy. She ain't my enemy. Uh-huh. I ain't mad at her, you know what I mean? But I want to know that, you know, it ain't even like that, you know? She met me at a time of my life when I was real immature. I was coming up, going through a lot, you know? Now she probably see me in a whole different light. Maybe not, maybe she would, but I want that opportunity. So when I see Janet, I'm going to try to make right what we made wrong.
All right. Well, I'll be right there with you, bro.
Call me, man. I'll call you
down. Yeah, let's hook that up. Hey, now, I'm going to ask you another question. 5 years from now, where do you see yourself? 5 to 10 years from now, what do you see yourself, what you see yourself doing?
I see myself having a job on Death Row, owning stock at Death Row, being an A&R person, an artist that could drop an album like Paul McCartney every 5 years. You know, not even like Paul McCartney, but there's no rapper who ever did it, so I have no one to use to say like. But, you know, that type of thing where I could just do it at leisure. And, you know, when my music will mean something and I drop deeper shit. That, I have my own production company, which I'm close to right now, doing my own movies, have my own restaurant, which I got right now with Alanis and Suge and Snoop. And just expand. I'm starting to put out some calendars. I got a publishing company and put out some calendars for charity. I'm going to start a little youth league in California so we can start playing some East Coast teams, some Southern teams, some, you know, Midwest teams. You know, have like a little league, like a Pop Warner league, but the rappers fund it. And the rappers are the head coaches. You know what I mean? Have a league where you could get a big trophy with diamonds in it for a nigga to stay drug-free and stay in school, and that's the only way you could be on the team. And we have fun and eat pizza and have the finest girls there and throw concerts at the end of the, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I mean by giving back. You know what I mean? Not being who I am, but by using what I got to give back.
All right. And in closing, you know, you got a lot of people, fans, that's listening to you right now that don't really get a chance to talk to Tupac up and close and personal like we kicked it today. But if it's anything you want people to know about Tupac, what is it you like to say?
Number one, when I diss y'all, meaning diss, I mean like when you come up to me and I'm not giving you the kind of reaction that you think I should be giving you, it's not because I'm ungrateful. It's because I'm nervous. I'm paranoid. I just got out of jail. I've been shot. I've been cheated and lied and framed, and I just don't know how to deal with so many people giving me that much affection. I've never had that in my life. So if I do that, don't take it personal. Try to understand me and see it for what it is. Now I understand what it's truly like to be like, not that I'm a fine ass nigga, but I understand what it's like to be a fine female or going to the club and all the guys just rush you before you're ready to be rushed. You know what I mean? And everybody's touching you before you're ready to be touched. So now I have a better understanding of what it's like to be a woman. But I also have a better understanding on fans not making me do things. I'm going to do it because I love y'all, because I do appreciate what you did. But when you make me do it, I don't want to do it. I don't care how many albums you bought. You know what I mean? My fans to me are people who follow me and is down for me, understand me, and no matter what people say, they know me because they know my actions. They follow me through my career. Not people who just bought my album, because anybody, I buy albums all the time, but I just buy it to listen to. You know what I mean? And if you buy my album, you bought it for the music. You didn't buy it for when you see me, I just break down and start eating you out. You know what I mean? So I don't like that. Don't start, you know, extorting me for your autograph and shit. You know what I mean? I'm real. I give autographs when I want to, not because I'm all that, because I'm tired. And I want to be in this game for a long time. I don't ever want to hate the fans. And that's what these other niggas do. See, they might give you autographs all the time.